The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Bill O'Neill, he's a partner at Logic Advisors. Bill, good morning and happy almost New Year.
Well, same to you. I think it's going to be maybe a little better one for commodities next year.
Why?
Well, I think, first of all, the money flow, the exit from commodities as an asset class, I think it's run a lot of its course. Now, I don't expect hedge funds and the like to come rushing in and reestablish major positions, but I do think there's going to be less selling pressure. I think some commodities are a little better priced than they were in the grains, for example, and I think copper has the potential for good upside. So I'm a little bit more optimistic after a pessimistic 2013. I guess it's that number 13.
Well, you know, review for us. Recap 2013. What happened? What the dynamics were to get us in a better position to understand where we're starting from as we look at 2014?
Well, first of all, we had, you know, the worst of the economic malaise on a global basis. And in the first half of the year in particular, we saw weakness in Europe, certainly. The Japanese economy continues to struggle. Asia in general was weaker. China was a little weaker. As the year has concluded, I see a better tone. Certainly Europe, I'm frankly a little surprised about the EU at the pace at which they seem to be recovering. UK, we've been kind of forecasting all along that their economy was better than people thought. But overall, we're seeing improvement there. And then, as I say, that all-important money flow factor, it absolutely killed commodities in the first half of the year. And much of the second half, I think the worst of that is over. So while I, you know, at this point I can't get to be a raving bull, certainly, I do think some markets have some pretty good upside potential. Base metals might be in that category. Copper looks quite good. The charts are improved there. Also, very, very tight stocks over in London. Keep a watch on that.
Okay. Well, people always talk about Mr. Copper, right? Kind of a barometer for the economy broadly, and copper seems so closely linked to China's, you know, ebbs and flows in their economy.
That will continue to be the case, but as I was away for a couple of weeks, and when I came back and I looked at some of the data on Chinese copper imports, they are excellent. They're running well ahead of the last couple of months and ahead of last year. So I think Chinese demand is better than people think it is.
Does the Fed taper, did it get so priced into all the markets ahead of the final step just last week that it now it's just kind of already part of what people are, you know, I guess is it on a back burner now, I guess, for these commodity markets?
Yes, I think that's a very good point to make. And also, the way the Fed did it, the kind of sneaking in with that $10 billion in December, which was not the consensus opinion, they did it in a way that kind of disarmed those that were saying that the taper was going to cause some sort of major reaction. Certainly the equity markets are reflecting that.
Well, and some people were getting to the point where they thought it wouldn't happen until March or maybe June or beyond. I guess the Fed let people know that they're pretty serious about it.
Yeah, they did. But as I said, they did it in a way that everybody said, oh, okay, $10 billion, okay.
Okay. So this whole sense of liquidity that you were mentioning, that this is the Fed is not going to be what drives that so much in 2014 for commodities.
No, I don't think so. I think and generally improved global economic landscape will be the key factor. And as I say, these money flow, if we can get the funds just to be kind of neutral and maybe turn slightly positive and start to look at commodities again, we could have a nice year, you know, in commodities in general and industrial commodities in particular. And as I say, the grains are relatively cheap, cotton.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So I think in general, modest upside.
Now, oil is trading, NYMEX crude anyway, just over $100 a barrel. We had the latest information from the U.S. Energy Information Administration showing that stockpiles decreased last week.
Yeah, the market's been creeping up. We've been bullish. That's one commodity we've been bullish on for a couple of months. And we have in our daily commentary projected prices to move over 100. It moved over 100 a little faster than I thought it would. But I think that there's good upside potential here going forward. And unfortunately, those low gas prices that you spoke of, we've seen the bottom there. And I think we'll see a slow but a steady increase in gasoline prices. So we have a bullish bias there, and we're also bullish natural gas.
There's this ongoing debate among the people who are bullish that there's demand, there's always some, seems there's some supply issue hanging over the market versus those who say, yeah, but the fundamentals really argue for crude oil being somewhere south of $90 a barrel, maybe closer to $80 a barrel. Why do you not agree with that camp?
Well, I think because the demand factor is underestimated, and what's really driving the market is demand. Plus, even though geopoliticals have been relatively quiet and seemingly in the background, they're still there, they're still lurking. And I strongly feel that next year we'll see plenty of geopolitical fireworks. So I think that's going to lessen the willingness to aggressively sell the market. And as I say, I think demand, Chinese demand has been excellent all the way through here. And with the economic situation and general landscape globally improving, I think you're going to see a much better demand situation than people think. And I think that's going to drive forces higher. And I also, you know, having a downside bias in crude oil is a very dangerous strategy, and it's proven that for many years.
So what is your target for crude oil on West Texas next year?
I think we're going to see 110, 112, something in that area.
Oh, that's a pretty good gain.
Yes, it'd be a decent gain.
And what about natural gas? You mentioned that just before the break.
Well, natural gas, again, is a you know, demand factor. Prices were overly cheap. The market may be a little overbought short term. But I think, again, the demand factor is going to drive prices higher there as well. And with each passing year, we see more use of natural gas. Almost every new home that's built uses natural gas. So this is a long-term cyclical growing demand growth market.
Okay, precious metals. Let's start with gold. So many people who thought gold was going to be the retirement nest egg loaded up on it in various kinds of funds. I think some of them still left holding the bag. Is there any chance that gold regains the previous highs from where it is now? We got the gold futures at $1,214. That's a long way from 1900 or 2000.
Oh, I don't see that anytime soon. And I mean, not in 2014, not in 2015. I think the bubble there has burst for a while. Now, I don't expect gold to go down another 28% in 2014, but it's just a market it's very lackluster. I watch the physical market very closely, Kathleen, and it's quiet. And when I see that, it's usually a bearish market atmosphere. Again, there is occasional Asian demand that creeps in and occasional bargain hunting, but this market has really no sponsorship. It's, as you know, very much a psychological market. That's really totally lacking positive psychology. So this is not one of the markets I like. We've been out of gold since November of 2011. I don't see getting in anytime soon.
Okay. So there's that platinum, of course, has some different fundamentals that it trades on. How does it look?
I like platinum better, and I like the platinum gold spread, but the volatility will kill you. It's really a tough spread to trade, but I do think the platinum market on an industrial basis will outperform gold. So I like it better, but if gold doesn't do much, platinum's not likely to do a lot. But I do think the spread will work.
And we've got a story today, aluminum heading for its biggest gain in 5 months as the dollar weakens. Let's take the dollar part of that, because obviously a dollar, the exchange rate, big factor in how a lot of these commodities trade. What's your view for the dollar in 2014?
I think the dollar right now is getting a little bit oversold. I think the levels that we're seeing now, and by the way, gold not responding to the weaker dollar in any particular way here, even with the pound and euro surging today, I think the dollar at the end of next year will be higher than it is now.
You mentioned the grains. Let's break that down a little bit more. How are the grain commodities positioned? The last, you know, we've seen a lot of cases, a lot of summers where we've had, you know, the droughts we've in parts of the Midwest making a big, big difference. Where are grains now? What do you see them doing in 2014?
Well, I think they're at prices that leave them poised for upside. And as you do point out, they will be weather fundamental. Perhaps we're going to have more of a fundamental market this year. The fact that we don't have the funds rushing into to buy or to sell commodities in an aggressive way, I think will leave them more in a position where you can actually look at the supply-demand equation and the weather fundamentals and judge from there. I would, again, give them at least a modest upside bias, all things being equal.
Bill, if people can't call up Logic Advisors and have you manage the commodities portion of their portfolio, what do you advise them? What kind of vehicles, what kind of rules of thumb are good for regular people who maybe just don't want to only have, you know, stocks, bonds in their 401ks, but want some commodity exposure?
Well, I don't advise the average individual to be trading single commodities. I don't think people should look to trade gold futures or options or wheat futures or options. I think what you have to do is commodity funds or commodity ETFs, something where you don't have to watch it every day. You pick your bias. If you have a bias toward gold, then you would buy the iShares silver. Rather, you would buy the iShares silver, the SPDR gold for gold. You have to do it that way. If you're not following these things every day, as you know, even following them every day, it gets pretty difficult at times. So look for broad exposure. If you have a bias for higher commodity prices, which I do have for 2014, look to position it that way.
And your bias for higher commodity prices in 2014, it seems like it's two things. One is the funds. You think funds won't be as aggressive sellers as they've been. And you think that the global economy is going to have enough of a pickup to support this?
Yes, I do. And I also think a number of commodities have been knocked down to levels that are really, you know, at the lowest end, discounting the worst of the fundamental scenario. So I think it's a nice little kind of triple play there that you can play off. It'll be gradual. I don't expect any sort of rocketing situation, but I do think we will have a gradual upside bias, and I would look, you know, to be positioned that way as we start the new year.
So the Fed tapering was priced in, like we can say, before the Fed actually did it in December, and as you said at the outset of this conversation, they kind of maybe gave the market a surprise by going in December after not going in September, et cetera. But what about the key rate at zero? What about the Fed's promise to keep it there till mid-2015? If the economy picks up more than forecast and the Fed gets maybe a little bit nervous and moves that up sooner, does that make much difference for commodities next year?
It could, because, first of all, psychologically, it would be a big negative, and secondly, it would slow the economic growth prospect. Now, you also have a situation, in Europe and the EU and the UK, where they may be looking to tighten up a little quicker than expected. So that could be a little bit of a fly in the ointment as we move along. But I don't think at this point that's going to inhibit the basic idea that I have, that we're going to have gradually higher prices. But you make a very good point, and that has to be watched.
Bill O'Neill, thank you so very much.
The Hayes Advantage, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.